The day has finally arrived. The final verses of 1 Timothy. We've been doing this since May. I said to Deanna the other day, I think I'm ready for 1 Timothy to be over. And she said, yeah. So I'm not sure what kind of response that was. But we have finally reached the day. Did you find anything in the last couple months from Paul's letter to Timothy that has helped you? Anything that has helped you to be healthy? Because that's what he ends his entire book of 1 Timothy on. His first letter is how to be healthy. So I found this little article. By following the simple advice I heard on a Dr. Phil show. Did you know he was a linebacker in college? Just saying. I have finally found inner peace. I have learned to be healthy emotionally. Dr. Phil proclaimed the way to achieve inner peace is to finish all the things that you have previously started. So I looked around my house to see things I had started and hadn't finished. And so before leaving the house this morning, I finished off a package of Oreos, a pot of coffee, the rest of the cheesecake, some crackers, and a box of Godiva chocolates. Dr. Phil was right. You have no idea how great that felt. Right? We have the wrong ideas of what it means to be healthy, what it means to be happy, and the Ephesian church was a beautiful mess. I don't know if you realize that or not, but I have often described our church that way. We are a beautiful mess. Beautiful mess. They've got an amazing young pastor in Ephesus, and here's how Paul feels about the people. You don't need to look it up. Save me the time. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15, it's the same church. This is how Paul feels about the people in this church. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus, and your love for all of God's people. Love God, love your neighbor, right? For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus, and your love for all of God's people, verse 16 of chapter 1, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. So when I describe Jennings Road as a beautiful mess to other pastors or whatever, and I say, but man, let me tell you stories about the beautiful mess that we are and how this church loves to give and is growing, and oh, it's amazing. And Paul's saying there's plenty to brag about with the Ephesian church. Their young pastor, the people, but 1 Timothy, there's a lot of warnings, right? And it's been kind of hard. There's false teachers. There's false leaders. There's false followers. He has to tell Timothy constantly, this is what a pastor should be like. And today, in two simple verses to wrap it all up, because there's sloppy joes waiting, Paul's final challenge to Timothy is to be spiritually healthy. To be spiritually healthy. It is one of the things that I have said as my body continues to fall apart, that regardless of what happens to this, it cannot touch my salvation. It cannot touch my relationship with God. In fact, when things fall apart on me, it drives me deeper into a relationship with God. But I've had to learn that over time. How do we be spiritual? How do we leave here today and decide that we're wrapping up 1 Timothy with being spiritually healthy? Here's the challenge. Just like anything else, there's some things we've got to cut out. There's some things we've got to be careful with. Did you gain weight this week? You don't want to know. By the way, there's scales in this building. Because every Sunday morning in my Sunday school class, the first thing that I do is step on scales. Because I've got four dumb doctors telling me that I've got to lose weight. What do they know? right? So, I bet they have a Facebook page, you know, group just about me. So I step on those scales. Think I gained weight or lost weight this week? I ate animal crackers on the way to North Carolina at 2:30 in the morning. I just want to warn you, just to give you an idea, because everybody else, including Pookie, was snoring, and it's 2:30 in the morning, and I'm in the mountains driving, eating animal crackers. I lost 0.2 pounds. That was close. And it was not easy, because I would say to Deanna all the time, oh, we're going to Cookout for supper. Have you ever been to Cookout in North Carolina? God lives there. I'm telling you, right? Jesus may live at Walmart, but God lives at Cookout. Milkshakes. Oh, always get a milkshake there. I didn't do it. Not once. Man, but I want to. There's just some things we got to not do in order to be healthy, right? And that's what Paul is going to tell us to do spiritually. So let's open up our Bibles. That said, stay for Sloppy Joe's and chips after service. Chicken? It's chicken? Oh, that's healthy. With feathers? Lorraine? Oh, don't know? All right. Never know. All right, verse 20, here we go. The one thing, the first thing that we've got to do to be spiritually healthy is be on guard. We constantly have to be on guard. Verse 20, Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to your care. Now, I realize, and for a moment I'm going to make this personal, because he's talking to a pastor of people. So this is a direct challenge for me, but I want it to be real for you too. Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to your care. One of the roles of a pastor is to guard the sheep, to protect you. Now, that doesn't always mean that I'm nice, and that's a difficult thing. All right, and that's something that I'm trying to work on, is maybe try to challenge you a little bit nicer. But in ancient times, they would build these pens for the sheep to sleep in at night, right? But there was no gate. It was just an opening in these pens, just these wooden pens that they would build around. The shepherd would get all of the sheep in, but there's no gate. And sheep are dumb. They don't realize where they're at. They can just wander off, right? Anybody know where the shepherd slept? In the opening. Because if wolves are going to try to get into the pen to attack his sheep, they got to go through the shepherd. And it can be painful. And so if you want to be involved in professional ministry or ministry of any kind, understand that there are times where we lay down in front of the sheep and it hurts. And we pay a price for it. We want to protect the church and the individuals. And it's not always understood in those terms. And it can be painful. One of the best ways to be healthy is to put up some fences and stay in it. I'm not doing, by the way, any fancy diet, because I've tried them. Hyperactivity and ADD don't work well with diets. But what I am doing is I'm cutting back. There's some things that I've decided, yeah, I'm not going to do. I really want to do that. But just like sin, I enjoy it in the moment. Second on the lips, lifetime on the hips, right? We got to watch that. And so that's what I'm doing. I'm putting up some fences, some boundaries. I'm not going to do that. And we need to do that spiritually in our lives. There's some things that we shouldn't do anymore. But I don't know what that is for you. You don't know what that is for me. It's not the same for every person. You may be able to do something that I can't. I've often said, I have no temptation to gamble. None at all. But I don't want to go gambling because I might. Does that make sense? And so I kind of watch that because I know the competitive side of me, and I've got to put up some fences to guard some of those things. And that's what we need to be, all right? And that's what we need to do, like hiking in the mud and flip-flops. You're just going down. So any good pastor knows, Paul says, that it's more than a job. God has entrusted to a pastor's care the people. This is not my church. This is not your church. My name ain't on this building, your name ain't on this building, but his is. This is his church. He has entrusted, stewardship-wise, God's children. And he's called me to shepherd it. Guys, it is the same for parents with our kids. He has entrusted our kids to us. And now as a grandparent, I kind of feel the same way until Naomi comes running to me in Walmart and jumps, and I pick her up and I swing her up, and somebody goes, wham, right in my back. They didn't, but it was like a taser. Just, ah! And I thought, I'm going down with Naomi on top of me. You know? But I don't care. I love that kid. She is amazing. And it's a new role for me being a grandparent. And I find myself thinking, God has entrusted her care to me. If you're a boss, if you're a friend, if you're a small group leader, if you're an elder, it is too easy to forget. It's his group. It's his class. It's his friend. It's his kids. It's his spouse. But he's entrusted it to our care. And so one of the ways to be healthy is we put up healthy boundaries that help us have healthy relationships with those that God has entrusted to us. Right? But there's a challenge. Look at verse 20. The challenge is we can become godless or get wrapped up in godless things. Turn away from godless chatter. Thank goodness we have Facebook and Twitter to keep us from doing that. Turn away from godless chatter and the opposing ideas of what is falsely called knowledge. Now, I want to stop there. To truly guard your heart, to truly guard your mind, for me as a pastor to guard the sheep, we all have this responsibility to stay away from godless chatter. Learn when it's time to shut your mouth. I needed to do that earlier this week with one of my dearest friends in the world. We are colleagues. We do a ton of things together. And we got mistakenly talking about Christmas. And we have two totally different approaches to Christmas when it comes to church. You have heard me say before, Christmas is my favorite holiday. I love, have you started watching Christmas movies? I drove 14 hours yesterday to get those women home so we could watch a Hallmark Christmas movie. And it's our favorite, Very Merry Mix-Up. You got to see it. It is like, come on over. You got to see it. It is great. That's literally what, we didn't even unpack the car. We got out of the car, brought Pizza Hut in with us, and sat and watched that movie after 14 hours of sitting and driving. Right? We tend to worship the holiday. As churches, we worship Christmas. And I'm not sure we do a good job of worshiping Christ along with it. And so we defend Christmas as a Christmas holiday, right? And the war on Christmas. And guys, let's just worship Christ during Christmas. I am going to preach about the birth of Jesus. But like a dummy, I got into a verbal argument with one of the people that I love most in this world about Christmas not being biblical. We've had the conversation before. Why did I get involved with it? And the best part is, we were yelling at each other in Starbucks in Fort Wayne. And I thought about it later, oh my gosh. I got wrapped up in this dumb chatter. It's just dumb. Dumb. We get wrapped up in all this stuff. And Paul's talked about these pointless controversies that people get involved with. And we tend to think that we know what is best for church. individuals do. Pastors do. Church boards definitely do, right? And we get into these arguments all the time, and then we disagree when church decides to do something or move in a certain direction, and we... It's the killest way to kill the health of a church. Paul says in this verse, and this is going to seem really harsh, that if you're going to oppose the direction God is taking with the church, if you think you're smarter than God, and you find yourself opposing the direction things are going, that you don't like the steps that are being taken for the church to be healthy, and you got some special knowledge, I love that, the opposing ideas of what is falsely called knowledge, you think you know it all. No, you don't. And neither do I. Now listen, I think this is more than just a disagreement. We can disagree about things. And that was the mistake that I made with my buddy, because I got offended at something he said. And something that I had said, he made the comment, well, I really feel sorry that's the way you grew up. And then I got offended. You'll mess with my family, right? And it just snowballed from there. Just a disagreement. If you don't agree with something with the church, you don't agree with something that I say or I do, who do you tell first? Just go to lunch and complain about it. Put it on Facebook. Oh my gosh, this has never happened to us. Although, if you go to the Jennings Road Facebook page, and you know you can count how many stars, you know, you give like glowing recommendations of the church, and you can do one star with... or five, which is awesome. Do you know what the rating is for Jennings Road on Facebook? 4.9 out of 5 stars. And I'm like, who's that 1/10 of a person that just hates us? Is it one of the babies? I don't understand what's going on here. Who's that? But guys, I'm telling you right now, I've seen pastors just absolutely devastated by stuff that's been put on Facebook. And we got to be careful with that. I don't mind at all. I almost said I almost don't care. That's not true. I don't mind at all if you disagree with something I say or a decision the elders have made or something. I don't mind. Let's talk about it. Ask questions. But ask questions of people that can answer it clearly. Does that make sense? Just ask directly. This is more than just a disagreement. Paul says that part of the challenge of being a healthy church and being healthy individuals within the church is making sure you don't think you're smarter than everybody else. If you are truly going to oppose the church, though, after time, and that's happened before, and I'm always thankful when people want to sit down with me directly and talk about it, because then I can direct them to a church that they're looking for, which is really, really good. Or if you just decide you're going to be a pain, it's not going to work out well. Because if we continue the verse, you're going to find yourself gone. Verse 21, which some have professed, and in doing so have departed from the faith. Some people think they're smarter and they know more and what the church should be and shouldn't be and all these rules and, well, all Christians should, blah, 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 blah. And Paul says in verse 21, when you oppose so long, you're going to find yourself gone, even to the point of leaving the faith altogether. That's devastating. I don't ever want to see that. We may not be the church for you, but I can help you find the place that you need to be in, and that's okay too. Part of the challenge that we have is sometimes you tell me that you don't agree with something, and sometimes I go, yeah, I don't either. And you find that surprising, and I said, but I've learned that I don't know it all. And I'll help share some of those stories with you if it's appropriate. I want to challenge you to go beyond what you think God's Word says. And by the way, we're doing that in February, so now you have the opportunity to skip an entire month. We're talking about myths that Christians think are biblical. myth. You know what the last one is? You really want to skip this one. You know what the last one is? God will never give us more than we can handle. Oh. Lie. It's not true. So there, you can skip that one. But you might oppose some of those things. Let me tell you to do this. You seek Him directly. If you need to fast to get connected with God, you got to give up something, food, TV, something like that, just to get really connected with Him, to hear Him clearly. You might be surprised. I'm always surprised when I do that. I want to challenge you to join a class, a small group, a Sunday school class. Call me and promise me that you'll buy me lunch. I will talk about whatever you want to. That is not a problem with me. Let's sit together and talk about it. But the last thing that Paul wants everyone to remember, the easiest way to be healthy are the final words that he leaves with you. He has just ripped them apart. And the last words that he has to say to the Ephesian church, and we always need to remember this, and I forgot it the other day with my buddy, grace. The last thing that Paul wants the Ephesian church to remember is these words, grace be with you all. And my problem in my life is I think I've got it all figured out, and then I get into an argument with my buddy at Starbucks pointlessly. Grace. That's what matters, is grace. The easiest way for us to be a healthy church and to be healthy individuals is to remember God's grace. So let's give you the chance to do that this morning as we wrap things up. I want you to stand. We'll sing our closing song. And if you want to come on up, please do. Let's pray about it together.
Your feet.
that you're going to remember that moment when that woman just bust into the room and broke that jar. Oh, she just wanted to worship you. And the disciples wigged out because that was expensive stuff. If 1 Timothy has taught me anything, God, it's that I focus on the wrong things at the wrong time. Help me be an agent of your grace. Help those of us this morning that we're that broken jar, that we break ourselves at your feet so that you can put this beautiful mess back together. It's in Jesus' name I pray.